Let's get into the word. I have a powerful word to share with you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start with verses 22 through 30 here. Got a lot of the word to share with you here today. All right. Ephesians 5, we'll start with 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Isn't that fun? Anybody find that funny? It says your own husbands. You know, it's easier to submit to someone else's husband, right? Right? But your own? Ah, I don't know. Okay, I'm just kidding. No, maybe I'm not. No, okay. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. There's that word own again. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Say glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives. Oh, own, there's that own again. Look at that. Their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. And it says this. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and underline it, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The Word of God reveals to us that Jesus is returning. Amen? How many of you know Jesus is returning? Here's the thing. He is returning for a glorious church not having any spot or wrinkle. Amen? Or any such thing, as the word just said. But that she, the bride of Christ, us Christians, should be holy and without blemish. Now, James 1 there mentions keeping yourself from being spotted by the world. All right? Keep yourself unspotted from the world. The church is composed of all those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are truly committed and living for him on this earth. You agree with that?
Yes.
Listen to this. The Greek word ecclesia, say ecclesia.
Ecclesia.
That is translated church means this. The called out ones, say called out. The called out ones or God's people. As Christians, we have been called out of this evil world system. We have been pulled out of Satan's kingdom and translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. Amen?
Amen?
So here's what the word of God is really saying. It's saying stop acting like, stop thinking like, come on, a child of the devil. Stop acting and thinking like an unsaved person. You've been called out of that mess. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 5:27 says that Jesus is looking for, like I said, and coming back for a glorious church. Repeat after me. I am a called out,
child of the living God.
In the name of Jesus.
Ah,
doesn't it feel good to say that?
Yes.
All right, God is looking for his people then to deal with, come on, I like this, here we go, to deal with the wrinkles and spots in their life.
Amen.
Say wrinkles and spots.
Wrinkles and spots.
I'm not talking physically. Come on, somebody. I'm talking spiritually. These wrinkles and spots hinder us from his glory, the glory of God, from being revealed in and through us, and it hinders us from fulfilling the will of God for our life on this earth. How many of you want to fulfill the will of God? Then we need to deal with the wrinkles and spots that would hinder that. Amen. So today, I want to talk about what God is looking for in his people, the church. Now, in my notes here, I had last week I talked about. I had to scratch out and say a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I talked about the pruning process. Remember that? And how necessary that the pruning process is. And I also said these words, that it's not a negative thing, but the pruning process of cutting things out of our life is a glorious process. It's a glorious process. It's a great thing in our life. So I want to somehow continue on with that message. The Holy Spirit is trying to prepare all of us for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So the name of this message is simply this: without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, let's take a look at here. Verse 8 through 17. And it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out," say finding out, underline that. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awaken, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Say light. Light. I like that word. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Before we got born again, how many of you know we were in pure spiritual darkness? Amen? We were totally separated by God, from God by the sin nature on the inside of us. But as Christians, now the word says something a little bit different about us. It says that we are the children of the light. Say light. Light. And it goes on to say that we are to walk or live our life, that means. Live our life as children of light, and that we are, listen to me again, we are to search out or find out what is not acceptable to the Lord. That is your assignment. That's my assignment. We cannot claim ignorance. Hello, somebody. Because the word is saying you need to determine, you need to find out based on the word of God what is not acceptable to the Lord. We are children of light. The children of God as Christians. Listen to this. Knowledge, revelation, and understanding. Knowledge, revelation, and understanding. They're referred to in the Word of God as light. So the opposite of knowledge, not having knowledge. The opposite of revelation, no revelation. Not having understanding is darkness. But we are called the children of light because we've got a revelation of who Jesus is. We have a revelation that the Bible is the Word of God, and we are called to get into the Word and find out what God's, come on, expectations are for us as Christians. It gives us this idea. Since we are the children of God, the children of light, God has given us everything we need to walk in the light, to walk in wisdom, to know his perfect will. Isn't that good to know? I'm so glad he reveals his will to us in his word. Amen? between the written word of God and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, we are able to know the will of God. It is possible for us to not only walk in the light, it's possible for us to remain in the light. How many of you know it's better to walk in the light than the darkness? What happens when you try to walk through a room that's full of stuff and it's dark in there? What's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to trip. You're going to bump into something. You're going to hurt yourself. Amen? But God says we have light. Oh, I love light. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. If the Word of God commands us to find out, to search out what is acceptable to the Lord, that must mean then that that not all things are acceptable for Christians to partake of on this earth. You agree with that? That is our responsibility. Our responsibility as Christians to search out those matters in the Word of God. What's going to happen is this. Even if you don't, you're a new Christian, you don't have knowledge of it, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside. So you're going to be doing something and something's just not going to feel right about it. And you're going to be like, why am I feeling this way? Because it's the Holy Spirit saying, That's part of the darkness. That's part of this world system that I don't want you to be a part of. Amen? So that's our responsibility. And, you know, to search out the Word of God and to pray. We should constantly be praying, Lord, show me what is going on. What's in my life that you don't want to be a part of my life? What things, what opportunities are coming my way that are darkness and not light, that you don't want me to be a part of? So we need to not only search out the Word, but we need prayer attached to it. The Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen? They go together. So this is one of the major reasons for spots and wrinkles in the body of Christ today. We're not searching it out and we're not praying, right? On top of that, listen to this. So newly saved Christians, how many of you were a baby Christian at one time? Amen. How many of you know, as a baby Christian, it's possible for you to bring worldly things into your life as a Christian? Amen. It happens all the time. I remember in my life, you know, there's things where after I got saved, the Lord started revealing things to me. It was a process. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is not mad at you. He's not trying. He's not going to drop you like a hot potato. No, no, no. He's trying to help you. Why? He's trying to think about it this way. He's trying to take off the restraints, the belts, the ropes off your life that would hinder you from being blessed. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed in your life. Amen. You got to get that mindset that every change that the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to make, it's for your benefit, all right? Or here's the other category. You've been a Christian for a long time, and you just haven't sought out the Word of God on things that might not be right. So you got your baby Christians. They love the Lord, but they're bringing baggage into their Christian walk, right? And then you got the carnal Christians. They've been Christians for a while, but they're not searching anything out in the Word. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Come on. So it's either, listen to this, so it's either because of a lack of knowledge or a flat-out rebellion against the known will of God. It's one of those two. It's either a lack of knowledge, we're talking about spots and wrinkles today in our life spiritually. It's either because of a lack of knowledge of what the Word says, or you know it, and you're just flat-out rebelling against. In either case, both of those are horrible. Amen? Even in the lack of knowledge situation, like I said, ignorance is not bliss in the kingdom of God. Ignorance is not bliss. The devil can still get a stronghold in your life. The enemy, listen, here's what you got to understand about the kingdom of darkness. Are you ready for this? The enemy doesn't care if you know it or not. If you're involved in it, it's an open door. It's that simple. You can't say, well, I didn't know it was wrong. Devil, leave me alone. No, 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 no. Are you following me? If you, listen, it's like this. It's like a police officer pulls you over. Well, officer, I didn't know the speed limit here was 70. You know, you were going 90. Guess what? He's going to say, well, some might let you go, but, you know, would you play along with my little story here? Please. That you break the law. Your ignorance of the law, you still broke the law, and there's consequences to it. Are you following me? In Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There's a destruction that will come into your life because of a lack of knowledge. Why? Because John 10:10, Jesus said, the enemy is a what? A thief. He don't care. All he sees, there's an open door. I'm going to step right in that open door. Say open door. We got to close those open doors to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So that is not only a spiritual truth that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but it is also God revealing that to us in hopes. Ready for this? This is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, I put that in the word in hopes. Listen to me. Listen to the heart of God right now. In hopes that it motivates my people to search out truth in my word. That's why he put it in. He's hoping that it motivates my people, that they will want to please me so much that it will motivate them enough to search my word and find out what displeases me, find out what opens the door to the enemy, and when they find out, slam it shut in the name of Jesus. Amen? So the word, let's go. So we're talking about spots and wrinkles. Without spot and wrinkle, we're working our way. We're imperfect people. You know that? We're not perfect, right? There's only one perfect human that walked this earth. His name is Jesus, right? So that's why the Holy Spirit's trying to work out those spots and wrinkles in our life. Now the Word of God puts the hammer down against worldliness in the life of a Christian. Go to James chapter 4 real quick. We really have to have a mindset shift on this thing because we're so ingrained in the world, you know, with secular jobs, with school, with all these things. We're like, unless you're in full-time ministry or you're a monk sitting in a monastery, hello, somebody, right? You're being immersed with worldliness every day. And the enemy's trying to brainwash you. The enemy's trying to get your thought life in a worldliness mindset. But God's saying something different here. Look at this. James 4:4-6. Listen to this. Listen how strong this is about worldliness, a worldliness mindset. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself, listen to this, this is to Christians, makes himself an enemy of God? Wow. It's possible to be a Christian, believe in Jesus, and be an enemy of God. Isn't that mind-blowing? Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I believe that much of the body of Christ, listen to this, are you ready for this? I believe that much of the body of Christ as a whole around this earth, all right, instead of affecting the world, they're being infected by worldliness in the church. You notice the difference? There's affecting and infecting, right? Instead of affecting the world is infecting the body of Christ. It can't be that way. We're called out. We're called to be different. Amen? And it all stems from a lack of commitment in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a lack of desire of getting into the Word of God. The Word of God is supernatural. You get the Word of God into your heart, you're going to notice there's going to be changes going on in your life. Amen? And really what it boils down to, there's the word portion of it, but the relationship portion, listen to this. It's really a lack of intimacy in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. There needs to be an intimacy. Listen, hallelujah, he just said this. He goes, I want to be the one that you run to. I want to be the one that you run to. When you get up in the morning, I want to be the first one you talk to. Come on. He wants to be first. He wants to be first. That's why. That's why he's jealous. Come on. Amen? Listen to this. You will act like who you believe and perceive yourself to be. And that's the importance of knowing and meditating on the Word of God, okay, and what the Word says, who you are in Christ, what your spiritual identity is. The Word says, as a man or as a person thinks, so is he. In other words, you're going to act out on who you think you are. Come on. Now, I want you to notice the Word of God connects worldliness with pride in that scripture. He connects worldliness with pride. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So being filled with worldliness, God says, you're filled with pride. Right? Friendship with this evil world system is a manifestation of pride, you could say. All right? It's pride in our heart. But commitment to God, commitment to the Word of God, commitment to the kingdom of God on this earth. God says, that's a humble heart. That's a humble heart. And because you have a humble heart, I'm going to release my grace and favor over your life like never before. How many of you want some grace and favor in your life? I know I do. So we need to humble ourselves. Father, forgive me for being worldly. Forgive me for looking at things from a worldly perspective and not the Word perspective. Father, you called me higher. You called me to be higher than this evil world system. Come on, somebody. See, that's humble. That's a humble thing to say. Amen? So jealousy, it talked about jealousy in this context. The Holy Ghost is jealous, right? Jealousy in this context, by the way, is positive. Why? Because it's for your protection. The Holy Spirit is trying to protect us from being destroyed from the enemy. And he's jealous of your time. He's jealous of everything you have. He wants you to use it for him. Think about that. You know, when jealousy is used in a positive sense, see, your spouse, when jealousy is in a positive sense in your spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend, that's a good thing, right? See, I'd be a little concerned if they weren't concerned if someone was trying to hit on me. Hello, somebody. I'd be a little concerned about that. Like, don't you care what, you know? Come on. So jealousy in a positive is a blessing. Amen. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 11, we're working our way to be without spot or without wrinkle. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. I want to point, we read it, but I'm pulling this out. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful. Say unfruitful. Works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So have no fellowship. That literally means this. Have nothing in common with. It means this, going deeper. Have no heart connection with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen? So the junk of this world should be detestable to us. The junk of this world should be disgusting to us as Christians. Now, in a spiritual sense, I want to kind of give you a mental picture of what it should be like. Can I do that here this morning? In a spiritual sense, worldliness in the junk of darkness, it should be as disgusting as eating garbage or vomit. Are you following me? If you're not at the point that those things aren't as disgusting as eating garbage on the street corner Or come on, drinking someone else's vomit. Oh, come on. Ooh, where are you guys going for lunch today, by the way? Where are we going? Let's talk about vomit for a moment, right? This has been a flu season. I was vomiting a few weeks ago. Let's talk a little bit about puke this morning. Go with me to 2 Peter. Let's get your appetites rolling this morning. You know, Pastor James is good for that. Now, say puke. You chickens. I'm an unconventional pastor preacher. I am. I like the shock jock mode, right? Come on. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. He's talking about backslidden Christians. Listen to this. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Here we go. But it has happened to them according to the true Proverbs. Proverb, are you ready for this? A dog returns to his own vomit. And a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. The Bible compares sin and worldliness to vomit, to puke. We need a proper and true perspective of this thing. Amen? Then the Word of God goes ahead and it uses a very interesting word with sin and worldliness. Are you ready for this? Some of y'all still have that look on your face like, you got this mental picture. Listen to me. Then the Word of God uses that word entangle in connection to sin and worldliness. Okay? By the way, these are commandments, not suggestions in the Bible. What does the word entangle mean? This is interesting. Listen to this. The word entangle is defined as this: to cause to become twisted together or to be caught in something. To be twisted together. In other words, what it's saying is this: don't allow your heart to be connected to sin and the pollution of the world to where it does this. Ready? It's twisted together. It's saying this: don't allow sin and worldliness to be your identity. I guarantee you, the moment someone became a backslidden Christian is the moment they started meditating on sin and the worldliness junk. That's the moment the backslidden condition started. Because now they're back into the... That's why you see a lot of people who are in bondage to something before getting saved. If they're not getting into the Word, they're not being faithful to coming and gathering with the saints. That one thing, that hindrance, what is it? Pornography? What is it? That one thing that was a hindrance back BC, before Christ, comes back into their life. Are you following me? Why? Because they start to take on that identity. I'm addicted to this. It's so powerful. The thought life is a powerful thing. Amen? So entangle is not just acting on sin and worldliness. It's talking about not becoming one with it in your heart. Don't become one with it in your thought life. Not just actions, right? Because that is what will ultimately, your thought life is what ultimately directs your actions. Amen? All right, go look at now Ephesians 5, 13 and 14. Moving on from vomit. Ephesians 5, 13 through 14. All right. There it is. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awaken you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, it is the lamp of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that shines the light on the dark areas of our life. You agree with that? It says to awake and arise. Say that with me. Awake and arise. Wake up spiritually and arise or put action to it. Right? So awake and arise. The awake takes place in your thought life. Arise is talking about your actions. Do you ever see that before? Awake, awaken, be awakened to in your thought life. Become conscious of this thing. And then arise means now put it into action. Amen? Wake up spiritually and arise. Put it into action. That means to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Search the Word of God with your whole heart. And to maintain that heart connection with your Heavenly Father. Now look at verses 15 through 17 in Ephesians. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The word tells us to walk circumspectly. For some of you, that word went right over your head. Let Pastor James help you. All right? Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To walk circumspectly means this: to walk cautiously, sensitively, and as a person that would walk through a garden with thorns in it. Let me say that again. To walk circumspectly means to walk cautiously, sensitively, and walk as if you are walking through a garden that's full of thorns. Spiritually speaking, this world is full of thorns. Amen? It's interesting to note that the parable of the sower, look it up for yourself. The parable of the sower talks about the seed of the word being sown among what? Thorns. Jesus explained this in Matthew 13, 22. He said, he who receives seed among thorns is, who's the one that receives it among thorns? Is he who hears the word and the cares or the mindsets of this world system, and here it is, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and causes it to be unfruitful in your life. The thorns, cares or the mindsets of this world system and the deceitfulness of riches, chasing the almighty dollar. We've all been guilty of it, haven't we? We've all been guilty. But that's why the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come. Now, I want you to notice something. That don't mean we can't seek anything after that. Did you notice that? It just says, seek first. Say first. God knows that you're going to be seeking things out, that you need financial wisdom in your life, right? God wants you blessed, right? But all he's saying is don't make that money an idol in your life. Amen? He's saying seek first. And when you seek him first, now you can start to seek some other things that you need in your life. But if you don't seek him first, and he's number two or number three, all the first thing that you seek, listen to me, thank you, Lord. The first thing in everything above the Lord that you seek, you know what those are called? Idols. And it will bring a curse into your life. Plain and simple. Now, Ephesians 5:16 says that we are to live as we are redeeming our time. We need to redeem the time. Redeeming the time, what's it talking about? It's saying the time when you were unsaved, the time when you were in rebellion against God, the time that you wasted when you were backslidden, even as a Christian, you need to redeem that time. In other words, as hard as you went for the kingdom of darkness, as hard as you went for that almighty dollar as an idol, God expects you to have more of an effort toward him. Redeem the time. The only way you're going to redeem the time is to go hard and radical for God in your life. Even if you go at the same pace that you went after those things, okay, you're still not going to redeem the time. The Holy Ghost is speaking to me right now. You need to go harder than you went after those worldly things if you're going to redeem the time, right? If I'm walking down this aisle and Mary Ann's walking down, and we're walking at the same speed, I'm never going to catch up to her. Hello? It's going to remain the same distance. But if I start walking faster, I'm going to catch up to her. And that's the only way you're going to redeem the time, is to go fast after God, hard after God, more of an effort than ever before. Amen? Well, I'm just too busy to pray. I'm too busy to get into the Word. No. You should be saying, I'm too busy not to pray. I'm too busy not to get into the Word. Listen, we need to keep the blessing of God over our life, or else it's vain. Everything you're doing apart from seeking God is vain. Oh, sure, you might get worldly accolades, but the Bible calls them rubbish. In fact, it calls it dung. Are you following me? The only thing that matters is your relationship with God and the fruit that comes off of that relationship with God. Nothing else matters. Amen? Say, nothing else matters. So we need to be radical Christians, redeeming the time. If you're going to catch up, come on, you're going to catch up. You got to overtake what you lost in the past. You got to go harder. You got to go faster. You know what that means? You have to have a greater desire. Say desire. Verse 17 says not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So here's the deal then. We know then, based on that scripture, to be unwise means not to have understanding of the will of God. To be wise, you have understanding of the will of God. So the most principal thing you need in your life is wisdom. You need to understand what the will of God is. And that comes from the Word of God. And then personally in your life, as I've been talking about every Sunday, it seems, you need to get the Holy Ghost picture and understanding of what the will of God is for your life personally. This is for every Christian in general. Every Christian. This is the, amen. But as far as your life personally, that's where your relationship with the Holy Spirit comes into play. Amen? So, go to Titus chapter 2. When's the last time you read Titus? Come on, somebody. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Now, Titus 2, it's a great book, by the way. Titus 2, 11 through 15. I'm talking about getting rid of the spots and wrinkles in our life spiritually. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. What did Jesus teach us? Here it is. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Wow. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for what? Good works. Be ye holy, for I am holy, he says, right? Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Did you catch that? Did you see the instructions of what they just gave me as the preacher? Oh, you're a preacher too. Listen to this. Speak these things. What things? That we need to live righteously in this earth. Amen? Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Don't let someone say, you're just trying to be holier than thou. Oh, you're just, you know, trying to be religious. No, sorry. Living holy, that's an eternal thing. That's never going to go away. That doesn't change with this different generations. Hello. Amen? If you are keeping your eyes, your focus on the blessed hope and seeking to please him in your life, you will avoid, listen to me, you will avoid the contamination from the world in your life. You will be maintaining a spiritual mindset which will cause you to walk in the Spirit and avoid the lusts and desires of the flesh and of the world. Amen? You guys still awake out there? Good. I still got 21 minutes. Hold on. A spiritual mindset means to this. It's this. It's not Christianese. A spiritual mindset simply means this: to see things from God's perspective. That's what a spiritual mindset is. To see things from God's perspective and not from our fleshly desire. Fleshly perspective and desires. Verse 14 is interesting. It said that Jesus gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed or sin and purify in himself his own special people, zealous of good works. All right, so good works, again, that's living that holy life. Go with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Feels good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. With a little brainwashing with the word. Hallelujah. I'm trying to brainwash you. I'm trying to renew your mind with the word. Amen. All right. Psalm 15, 1 through 5. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. I'll tell you what, the end of verse 5, that verse, he who does these things shall never be moved. You know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to write these down and put them in every room of my house and read them. He who does these things will never be moved. Say never.
Never.
So Psalm 15 talks about keys that will help to shape our character so that we will not grieve the Holy Spirit and we will be, listen to me, we will be qualified to abide or remain in the presence of God. In verse 1, the tabernacle and the holy hill, listen to this, it refers to the resting place of the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was. Isn't that interesting? Where the worshipers assembled, okay, where the presence of God was. The Ark symbolized the presence of God. So what qualifies us to abide in the presence of God, along with, of course, faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, in his death, burial, and resurrection? I want you to notice something here in Psalm 15. I want you to notice that many of these things that are mentioned are in reference to our relationship with other people. Did you notice that? I mean, you would think, God, what qualifies me to be in your presence? You would think that the whole list would just be talking about our relationship with God, right? Oh, no. It's our relationship with each other as well. Say each other. The quality of your relationship with the Lord is in direct proportion to your relationship with mankind. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like God is that parent and he's saying, be nice to your brother and sister. Yeah. Amen. You better play nice with them. You better help them at the schoolyard. Come on, somebody. Amen. 1 John 4:20 says this. It says, he who hates his brother and says that he loves God is a liar. Say liar. He who hates his brother and sister but says he loves God is a liar. That's mind-blowing because you can actually think that you're loving on God yet hate someone, and God's word says you're lying. Well, no, God, no, I really do love you. No, if you would love me, you would love my creation too. Everything that I created, you would treat with respect as well. Think about this. That's deep, isn't it? Go to 1 John chapter 1 real quick. 1 John chapter 1. We all need this reminder. I'm not picking on anyone. We all need it. Pastors need it. Amen. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. I want to show you something that could be mind-blowing. Maybe something you never thought about before in connection to this passage. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Listen, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me make this a little bit clearer for you, all right? Listen to this. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship or relationship with him, with God, and we walk in darkness or have a lifestyle of sin, right? We lie and do not practice the truth. It's one thing to know the truth, but it's another thing to practice the truth. Did you know that the kingdom of darkness knows the truth? You know what separates us from them? They don't practice it. Isn't that, that's sobering when you think about it, amen? Many people know the truth. Many Christians know the truth, but they're not practicing it. They're not putting it into action in their life. Now listen to this, verse 7. Verse 7 begins with the word but. I'm no English major, but means it's a continuation of the previous thought. Are you following me? It says, but if we walk in the light or practice the truth as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to notice something extremely important from this passage. We as Christians are required and expected to walk in the light by being doers of the word of God or practicing it, right? When we are truly doing that, listen to me, we will have fellowship, unity, and love for one another. And at that point, say that point, that's when the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Listen to me, it's interesting. Where am I going with this? I've never really seen this before, and the Holy Spirit illuminated this to me. It's interesting, the Bible says that we are to forgive others so God can forgive us. What? Listen, it's interesting, the Bible says that we are to forgive others. Why? So God can forgive us. You can see then, listen to me. I never thought about this, but this is heavy. You can see then that holding unforgiveness towards someone else is a dam that will prevent the blood of Jesus from cleansing your sin. Did you just hear me? This is heavy. That's deep. It says we forgive so we can be forgiven. So if we're not forgiven, we're not forgiven. That's heavy. So in other words, our unforgiveness can literally block the blood of Jesus from cleansing us of our sin. What? That's crazy. If we don't forgive others, we are not forgiven. And that's from the word of God, not from my word. So unforgiveness is like holding on to your own sin. When you forgive, you are releasing them, and then that gate's moved out of the way, and then the blood of Jesus can cleanse you, your sin. I can't think of a greater sin right now than the sin of holding unforgiveness towards someone. This is the one sin that literally says it will hinder the blood of Jesus from cleansing you. Do you understand that? That is the one sin. It's so vital to forgive that God said, hey, look, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive. It's not that I don't want to. Hello, somebody. I can't. I can't. Now, that doesn't go over very well with religious mindsets because they think, oh, well, God can do anything. God can do anything. No, he can't forgive you if you're holding on to unforgiveness. And it says it right there in the Word of God. Wow. I'm talking today about removing spots and wrinkles in our life. Jesus is indeed coming back for a glorious church, a glorious people. The Word of God says that as we abide in Christ, it says we are being changed from glory to glory. It's a process. Now, one very important aspect of us getting rid of spots and wrinkles in our life is the Holy Spirit aspect of the matter I want to touch on here. After all, the Holy Spirit is our helper, the paraclete in the Greek, the one called alongside to help us. Amen? The one called alongside to help. The mission of the Holy Spirit is to help us and to assist us in becoming that glorious church. Amen? And so Jesus said that he would build his church. How? Go with me to Matthew 16 real quick here. Matthew 16. Don't worry, you guys aren't hungry anyways after talking about vomit, so we're good with that. So it don't matter if I make you a little late to lunch, right? No, I'm not going to make you late. Oh, don't touch the lunchtime on Sunday after church, right? That's holy, right? Okay, now, Matthew 16, 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." No, that's not talking about the Catholic Pope. "And the gates of Hades," or hell, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You know what you can bind on earth? The blood of Jesus from cleansing you because you're holding on to unforgiveness. You know what you can loose on earth? The blood of Jesus. Let it cleanse you when you walk in forgiveness. But listen, it was a revelation to Peter that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is building his church. Say building. He's building his church. He's growing his church based on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. That he just wasn't some good man. No, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? You agree with that? Most people stop right there, that the building of the church is simply people getting saved and that's it. But let me expand your understanding about this scripture. The building of the church is not only talking about getting people born again, but it's also talking about building a glorious church after you get born again. That's the importance of discipleship. Jesus said, "You shall make disciples." Jesus didn't say, "Just go get people born again and you're done." No, get them saved and make disciples out of them. Are you following me? Get them saved, and then deal with the spots and wrinkles in their life. Hello, somebody. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit is revealing things in our life that we need to change to be what the Word of God says, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm on the last page right here. Say amen. Hallelujah. Now, it takes revelation from the Holy Spirit to see the flaws in our life that we're blinded to. How many of you ever had a friend in your life, a real close friend, come to you and say, "You got this issue in your life and you really need to make a change." And you were like, "What? What? What are you talking about?" All of a sudden you got offended. "What? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" But they hit the nail right on the head. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's that friend that's not afraid to tell you the truth. Right. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. He's that friend that's not afraid to ruffle your feathers for your benefit. Right. Amen? I like that. So building is a process. We as Christians are a work in progress. We're not perfect, like I said, amen? So we don't need to fall into guilt or condemnation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's help in this process. But the Holy Spirit does require something from us. He requires a desire to be holy, a desire to change those unholy aspects of our life. That's what he does require, amen? He wants you to be open to those changes. That's why Philippians 1:6, I love this. It says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, until the return. So what is our part in the building process? Isaiah 1:19, it tells us to be willing and obedient. Say that with me, willing and obedient. We must cooperate, be willing and obedient when the Holy Spirit reveals a spot, when he reveals a wrinkle in our life that we need to correct. We need to just be willing and obedient. How do we get those wrinkles out of our clothes? When you're, what do? You got a shirt, you got a dress. What do to that thing? You iron it. You're putting, heat on it to get the wrinkles out. Listen to this. Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit and fire. There's only one way to get wrinkles out of clothes, and that is to apply heat to it. There's only one way to get wrinkles out of your life spiritually, and it's to apply Holy Ghost heat to it with the presence of God. Here's how I'm finishing this thing. Pursuing the presence of God in your life and positioning yourself in his presence will allow his water from the word to wash away the spots and the fire of his presence to iron out the wrinkles. The word and presence. The water of the word gets rid of the spots. The fire of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, will get rid of those wrinkles. Amen. Psalm 51 put it this way. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So church, we need to stay close to God so that he can assist us in cleansing us of these spots, in ironing out these wrinkles in our life. Because why? Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that glorious church. I don't want to walk around with spots or wrinkles on this earth. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Without spot or wrinkle, that's what we're aiming toward. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here, you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. You're not even in the door. You're not even in trying to get rid of that spot and wrinkle process. No. You need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Number one, because when you take your last breath, it's game over. If you don't make Jesus Lord of your life before you take your last breath, it's hell in the lake of fire for eternity. That's pretty good motivation to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Amen? I want you to come forward. If you never made Jesus Lord of your life, come forward this morning and pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, maybe there's someone here. Let's connect this to the message. Maybe you bet you're a Christian. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. And this message opened your eyes to spots and wrinkles and maybe how you've been fighting against it. You've been in a backslidden mode. But this message, the Holy Spirit was really ministering to you today. And you want to tell someone, hey, this message spoke to me, and I am going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to work with the Holy Spirit to deal with those spots and wrinkles in my life. Amen? Maybe you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism and speak in other tongues. You've never received the Holy Spirit baptism? Come on down. We'll talk to you about it and pray over you for that. You need prayer for anything else, healing, whatever it is, come on down. Visitors, thank you so much for coming today. So everything's normal schedule this week. Don't forget, Saturday is Kathy Ark's Celebration of Life. 10 to 11 is the visitation and 11 o'clock the service. And we're going to have a great time honoring the life of Kathy Ark. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. If you need me, you know where to find me. All right.